Hey y'all, welcome to the Lone Sound Magazine podcast, Music, Culture, Texas. Find us online at lonesoundmagazine.com. And here's your host, editor Jamie Siegel.
Hey everyone, my name is Jamie Siegel. I'm a journalist based in Dallas, Texas, and I'm the editor and founder of Lone Sound Magazine. Each week, we're sharing interviews with individuals who are moving our creative culture forward. From visual artists and musicians to fashion designers and producers, we're always inspired by their stories, and we hope y'all will be too. Welcome back, y'all. It is 2021, the sky hasn't fallen, and we are still here. In season two of the Lone Sound podcast, we are pleased to bring y'all a stacked lineup of artists and musicians creating culture today, both in Texas and around the world, too. I am especially stoked to debut this season with one of Austin's finest musicians, Jackie Benson. She's a songwriter, incredible vocalist, piano player, sometimes DJ, and guitar shredding extraordinaire who plays the blues like Stevie Ray. Basically, you might say she's a Jackie of all trades. Ha. Just kidding, don't stop listening because of this terrible pun that I just said. But I digress. Despite the pandemic, Jackie Benson has been thriving. She's released 5 albums in the last year, and she's figured out how to make a living wage from live streaming. Her latest studio album, Vintage Machine, has been in heavy rotation for me, and it's what she describes as a metapop record, which is essentially her commentary on today's pop music and the mainstream music industry. She tells me about the place she was in when she wrote these songs. She tells me about the place she was in when she wrote these songs, which all have these insanely infectious melodies, but with really deep, honest, and heartfelt lyrics, plus some guitar shredding. We also talk about her side project, Jackie the Robot, how she feels about playing shows right now, and why she'll remain both an independent artist and an Austinite forever, most likely. All that and more coming up after these messages.
KNON 89.3 FM in Dallas-Fort Worth is a 55,000-watt community-supported radio station. The Voice of the People is programmed 24 hours a day by volunteer DJs, reflecting the diversity and celebrating the culture of its listeners. For information about the station or to support true independent freeform broadcasting, visit KNON.org.
Thanks so much for talking with me. I've been listening to your album and, I mean, the ACL Live that just came out.
Oh, nice.
So you just did Georgia Comes Alive for Live Her Live Music. What was that experience like?
Well, it was the coolest thing about it was in part, in ways, like just another live stream. Like I recorded my portion and I sent it in just like every other thing I've been a part of. But then what was cool about it was the lineup and where they included me in the lineup. I was like, oh, damn. Okay, nice. I'm like right before Dave Grohl, like, okay. Like it was cool. Like I didn't know that was going to happen. I thought they were just going to put me wherever they put me in. And I did it. I didn't do it for that reason. I did it for the cause. And, you know, so like that was like a cool
lineup too. I mean, still, that was an amazing lineup.
It was. Yeah.
I mean, you've been crushing it in terms of releasing music in 2020. I guess the one thing that I think is really cool, I love the recordings that you did, the two volumes of the
Jackie the Robot
music. Yeah, Jackie. Do you listen to like electronic or dance music, or were you kind of just inspired by the possibilities of production in terms of looping and all of that stuff? Or was that stuff that you'd just been saving and then just wanted to release?
I've always been really jealous of DJs. Everybody else, like, who feels the way I do, it manifests in them, you know, disrespecting DJs. They're like, whatever, they don't play a real instrument, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's just the same feeling. They're jealous, just manifesting in a different way. See, I'm just big enough to admit it. I've always been jealous of DJs because they're so cool. And what I mean by that is, first of all, they changed music forever. So like, hip hop is basically DJs meeting rappers, producers meeting rappers. And like sometimes the DJ is the rapper. And that was an entire revolution. That's like an entire other conversation. And the whole point was they can make this huge, amazing sound completely by themselves.
Right.
And that is so cool. And they can mix in anything they want. They like this song, they mix it in. They like that song, they fade it into that song. And it's just so, it's like they're jamming with themselves and they didn't have to learn how to sing. They didn't have to learn how to play the drums. They didn't have to learn how to play the drums to spin that sick beat. They might've had to search a sample library of 10,000 samples to find that beat. Granted, doesn't mean they didn't put in the time. Just saying, exactly. They don't have to be completely taken up playing the drums. Because don't get me wrong, playing the drums is cool. But if you play the drums, that's all you can do. All you can do is play the drums. You might be able to add like another machine. A DJ can throw in, they can mix in vocals, they can change the beat, they can change the key, they can bring in a different bass line, they can bring in a different chorus line. They can like throw it all away and start something new in an instant. And they can just ride this wave of music that they don't have to live, they don't have to perform the music live. They just get to have fun with it. And of course it takes time to learn how to use the equipment and stuff. It's not like easy or anything, but right. It definitely isn't like mastering an instrument. It's right. It's true. Like just enough challenge to where you can get it. And then once you get it, it's just fun. It's like you get to just drive this music ship.
Yeah.
It is great. So cool, man. It is so cool. And that's like what I mean by cool. You don't have to learn how to play the piano. You don't have to learn how to play the guitar. You don't have to learn how to play the drums. No, you just search sample libraries. You find your own guitar parts. You use your ears to find what you think sounds cool. And you just throw it in the mix. And then everybody's so happy that you're there. They're all drinking their drinks. They're like, yeah, DJ's lit. Yeah, cool. And then you get all the money. You don't got to split it with anybody. It's just you.
And it's way easier to set up than it is to like bring all of your shit to, you know. The loadout is great, you know.
Yeah, loadout is excellent. And like, imagine like a drummer can't bring in a bass line. Some of them have figured out how to do it. But it's a pretty hard thing to do. First of all, you have to sound good on the drums. So there's like 15 years right there alone, just sounding good on the drums. You're in for 15 years minimum, right? And then after that, you also have to learn how to use all the same gear that the DJs use. And guess what the DJs didn't have to do? Learn how to play the drums.
Put in that time to be,
You know what I'm saying? So that is basically where Jackie the Robot came from. I've always been jealous of DJs. And I've always wanted to have a project just on stowaway, just like in case I don't feel like singing that night, like performing and singing and playing the guitar and remembering lyrics and all that shit. It's hard, man. Sometimes I just want to like show you guys some stuff that I like. And sometimes I don't want it to be like this whole thing where it's like taking all of your attention. Like when I'm singing and playing a concert, like it's really intense. Like paying attention, really. And it's like, ugh. Like nobody dances at my shows. They just sit down and they watch my left hand. They look at my face for a second, and then they look at my left hand, and they look at my face.
So it's not like you're not offended. You want that, like, you want to see people getting up and just dancing. I do,
but like with Jackie Vinson music, it doesn't happen. They're frozen. They're like deer in headlights, which is fine. They're there. I'm grateful they're there. I don't care how they consume the music. I don't care how they take it in. But like, it's never laid back. It's always like, all right, I was told about this girl. I'm going to see for myself. It's always like that vibe. Or it's like, oh, this is my favorite guitar solo. I'm going to sit here and frozen and watch it because this is my favorite guitar solo.
Yeah.
Like, it's like this really intense show. It's a really intense show. I'm not saying this as a criticism. It just is. It just is a really intense show. Plus Rodney, my drummer, he's so good and he's blind and he plays left-handed on a right-handed kit. Like, there's no dancing at my show. There's just like trying to soak it all in.
Yeah, it's just like a little bit more liberating just to do.
Yeah,
like,
with a DJ, you can zone out. You can talk over it. You can come up to the table and talk to me. I just let the music run for a second. Oh, hey, what's up? Like, it's so much more laid back. It's not like this theater performance of mastery and excellence. You know, it's not like this thing, like, where it's like, this is a master of the guitar. Yeah. Like, it's not like this, like, really intense thing. Which, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to curse it. I'm just saying it is what it is.
Still, I mean, I guess it is crazy that you picked up the guitar later, which people are like, oh my gosh, you kind of just guitar prodigy kind of a thing. Because you didn't study that at Berkeley, right?
I studied it after Berkeley.
You studied production instead, or composition instead of guitar. And then, I mean, what drew you to the guitar? Because, I mean, now people are definitely coming to watch you play the guitar, right? But is it something that... Is that the thing you're most passionate about, or what is like really driving your inspiration these days?
Well, it is definitely the thing I'm the most passionate about. I initially picked it up because I just wanted to be able to put on a better show. And I tried for 7 years to put on a good show behind the piano, and it just never, ever landed. And then, like, I had this vision in my mind that the guitar would just be a better performance instrument for me, because A, I can move around the stage. That's the big, I can move around the stage.
Yeah.
The other big thing is, like, 75 to 80% of the audience can't even see what your hands are doing on the piano. So, like,
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
If they're sitting in a certain seat and the body of the piano is facing them and your hands are facing the other direction, guess what? They're just going to see half of you behind a fucking piano. It's just like old frustrations. Like, I'm just like, what do I do? And if you put it straight on the stage, like you stand straight facing everybody and the piano's in front of you, guess what? Nobody can see your hands.
Yeah, that's true.
And then this like awkward thing is just in front of you.
Right, and you are confined, right? Because you can't
move anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And you definitely can't operate without a band, because especially if you're solo, you especially can't move anywhere because you're the only one producing the sound.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you're like, I guess there's a few problems. Problems with that.
These were problems that I knew about for years, and I tried so many different combinations of things to alleviate the problem, and nothing ever did. I went down to the basement of this cafeteria show at Berkeley, and this guy, it was just him and a bass player and a drummer. And he was just singing and playing, and he was like coming to the front of the stage and like talking to people. And he was going to the other part of the stage where he hadn't been for a while. He's like, you know what? I hadn't seen people over there for a while. So then he walked over there.
Was he playing like blues or just like shredding? I mean, like,
they were just playing their own original music, and they were just like, it was free. Was so free. And it wasn't just free because he could move around. It was free because like so much music is guitar based. You can just do anything. You can do anything you want.
Yeah.
So much music is guitar based. Maybe it was written on the piano, but the final arrangement was probably really heavily guitar based and driven.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I love Vintage Machine. I love the, like, it is so like the hooks and stuff. I mean, it really is like poppy and so catchy. A lot of your songs are, but then I know that it's also incredibly technical and arranged and all of that stuff. Did you kind of have a goal in mind with Vintage Machine, or you wanted to kind of mix it up from a blues sound? What vision did you have in mind for Vintage Machine?
I wanted to, like, it's like a meta pop record.
Okay.
Like, it's like my commentary of pop while writing what I perceive to be pop songs. Like, and the song topics are me almost at times making fun of myself.
Yeah.
And then at other times, like diving deep and reminding myself of real life experiences. Mm-hmm. And then at other times, trying to tell myself to get grounded again, all for the purpose of like, why do you even want a pop record to begin with? Like, just make music.
Yeah, right.
It's like this meta criticism on my own personal desire to even have a pop record. Why do I want to even be a part of that world?
Yeah, but I mean, I do think surrender. I mean, I love the lyrics, but I also am like, I feel like I would hear this on the radio. You know, it does.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like,
yeah,
basically,
I love it so much.
I love it. It's so catchy, but also like, but it's really catchy.
Yeah,
but it's really deep. But it's really catchy.
Yeah,
like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, I kind of wish all pop music was like that. I wish people wrote songs that weren't about money and sex only. I'm like, I'm literally bored. Like, I don't know anybody who lives life like this. Like, I don't know anybody who like lives life cheating on their men or their women or their partners. I don't know anyone who says, I don't give a damn about anybody. I just want to be rich. Like, I don't personally know anybody like that. Like, who's living that life? Like, how is this music relatable?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, but Rolex. I don't know a lot of people who have that. So how is this music relatable?
I mean, it was kind of perfect for 2020. Did you write a lot of those songs in 2020?
No, I wrote the songs in 2019. After I went through like just a really big letdown.
Yeah.
Just like I did all these things, and I did everything that the way I thought that you should do things in order to start the path to, quote, major industry success, unquote. You know, I did all of these things. I thought I did all the things right in 2019, and I still got absolutely no interest from the major industry. And it just deeply, deeply, deeply bummed me out because I'm like, I put everything I had into that and it didn't work. Yeah. What the fuck am I going to do now?
I spent like all the right things on paper.
I spent 9 years. I spent 9 years becoming the best I could possibly be at this. And then also being flexible and being willing to learn and being willing to tour and being willing to work my ass off. And also I built a career. I have a following. I did it all on my own. How the fuck does not anybody want to work with me?
Yeah.
How the fuck does like a booking agent not see all of the work that I'm willing to do and not want to just open their fucking Rolodex?
Yeah.
Right? How is that even possible? I see them sign memes, stupid, idiotic people that have no talent that got 10 seconds of fame on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And they're telling me to fuck off.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it was like my brain broke. I was just like, I felt like I snapped. I was like, I want to burn this whole place down. Like time to start a fire. I wanted to go burn a building down. I'm like, I'm going to go to Los Angeles. I'm going to burn it all down. I'm going to burn down WME. I'm going to burn down everything. I'm going to burn it all. Universal, you're going down. Like that's how I felt in that moment. I was so fucking mad. And then what made me even more mad was that I didn't even know who to be mad at.
Oh yeah.
That's why I put major industry in quotes. Who are they?
Yeah, exactly. And they're the ones who are defining who's getting like a break or, you know, but we don't even.
Yeah. But what are their names? What do they look like? Where do they live? Are they in Los Angeles? Probably not.
Who makes these decisions?
Like, who even are they? Like, what even is all of this? So it's like, it was like this panic ridden, like third, like fourth quarter of the year of 2019. I was just like, and then I was like, I don't ever want to be here ever again. I don't ever want to come back here. I don't ever want to work this hard for anything even remotely that resembles this.
Yeah.
It's like, I need to just completely like get this compass and just like turn it the complete opposite fucking direction. And I don't ever want to go through this ever, 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 ever again. And that's when I wrote Vintage Machine.
Yeah, that you were like, I'll never come back to
this. I was like, no, next time I work this hard for something, I'm going to fucking get it.
Yeah.
So that means I'm not going to work hard for something that's a mirage ever again. I'm going to work hard for something that I can see and touch and feel, not some weird idea that society put on me.
Right.
And that's when I wrote Vintage Machine.
Wow. That's crazy. So, and then 2020 happened.
Yes. And then the major industry proved just how fickle it was. It went away. All of the major artists couldn't live stream for like the first 6 months because they had to like get the rights back to their own fucking names.
Yeah, right. They were getting shut down from Facebook.
Meanwhile, I'm on like stream number 100 and I'm like making a salary again because people are just like tipping me on digital tips and stuff.
Yeah, they're Cash Apping and PayPaling and
And I'm still playing shows and I'm making new fans. My page is growing 1,000 followers a day. One of my videos went viral on TikTok. You know how much those stupid idiots at the top pay for a viral video? One of mine just went viral just because I was just using the platform, just participating. Because like I said, I'm never going to work that hard for something that isn't tangible. If TikTok says, hey, if you upload a bunch of videos per week, you're going to get followers just because you're juicing the algorithm. It's just A equals B, you know, like A plus B equals C. Like it's really that simple with the internet. And so that's what I poured all my work into, the internet.
Wow.
I was live streaming even before 2020. Because the thing about the internet is I do a live stream and I look at my PayPal. There might be $300 in there. That is what I'm fucking talking about. I just worked hard and then I immediately got something for it.
Hey, you don't have to chase down your paycheck and wait for like months paid or anything.
I don't have to sign a contract that makes it so that I can't even use my own name or that I only get 19% of the net.
Right? Like 0.0004 of a cent or whatever.
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah. So meanwhile, you've kind of been doing that, and then the looping and being able to kind of do the DJ thing, has that kind of helped your live stream, making you able to kind of do more stuff with that? Or
yes. Well, you know, the Jackie the Robot thing has been a really great supplement for the live streams, because, you know, I don't want to just like go live and just play the same songs every night. I want to change up what I'm doing. So yeah, it was like really convenient that I decided to pull the trigger on Jackie the Robot, like at the beginning of last year. It was really convenient that I like put all that stuff together before the lockdown, because then when I was streaming every night, I was like, man, what do I do tonight? I played those songs last night. I played those songs last night, you know, like, so it was really nice to be able to throw in the mix that, you know, and then when live performance comes back, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to work in Jackie the Robot, because Jackie the Robot doesn't have as big of a fan base as Jackie Vincent. I know we're talking about the same person, but honestly, the two projects are so different. Just because you like Jackie Vincent doesn't mean you're going to like Jackie the Robot, and the other way around.
Yeah. No, and I like both, because they are so wildly, they are absolutely like way different from one another. And I mean, still, but I mean, they are kind of just like two different parts to your personality. It seems.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. Some people are like, they're not really like very open-minded, or maybe they just have a ceiling on the creativity that they can handle.
Yeah.
And they don't like it because I'm not singing.
Oh, you're like,
and I'm like, yeah, but I told you it was a DJ project. What DJ do you know sings? Like,
yeah, right. Yeah, I can't think of very many.
Like, I try to manage their expectations. I'm like, you guys, it's a different project. It's a different name.
Right. So,
like, but what if they paid $20 to see Jackie Vincent and then hear their favorite song, which is 90% of the people, because most people are fans of that project and not Jackie the Robot. Jackie the Robot's still pretty under the ground.
Yeah, low key. Yeah.
It's pretty underground. I mean, I just launched it in like February of last year. So like, it's new.
It's just cool to see the two different sides of it.
And Jackie the Robot is like, you know, let's get stoned.
Yeah.
It's not really, they're not songs. Like the tracks aren't even, if you look at the tracks, they're named in a sentence. They're not named as like song names.
Yeah.
There's no like hook that comes back. It's just like this through composed instrumental vibey music. So the only bill that would fit on is a bill with other DJs. It would have to be a DJ bill. That's why it's so complicated bringing that out live, because my agent books blues and rock and Americana. He doesn't book DJ. So I would have to get a totally different agent that knows the right clubs, because my agent books rock and blues and Americana. Those are very specific clubs. Like Antones is not going to have DJs. Antones is going to have bands. But like Mohawk Indoor is probably going to have DJs, sometimes bands, but probably DJs most of the time. You know, like that's all what I'm saying with an agent. So like the project is so different that I don't have any idea where it's going to fit live at the time. I'm just going to have to take it one day at a time.
Yeah. Coming up, Jackie Vincent's song Surrender from her latest album, Vintage Machine, right after these messages.
Little girl, why are you so worried? Hey, little girl, just try to be happy. Finding the truth can be so painful. Beauty is found when light still shines through.
Feeling about live music coming back? We don't want to ever say like probably fall, probably, you know, or just taking that one day at a time too, or are you kind of trying to make some plans that it's coming back? Because I mean, in here in Texas, it's not as locked down as it is in other places, but also the virus is still raging, but like people make money. But what are your thoughts on that, and you know, playing back in Austin again in front of people?
I'm down with playing any outdoor shows. If it's an outdoor show and it's also socially distanced, I will do it. Okay. Other than that, like, I'm not doing any indoor shows. I don't want to get it. It's like, yeah. It's that simple. I don't want to get that. There's a lot of side effects of it that would render me unable to do my job. So like, yeah. No one gig is worth me not being able to play any gigs for an indefinite amount of time.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of these side effects that are coming out, and it's hitting people I know. Like, my mom knows someone who recovered from it, and then now she has neuropathy in her hands and feet, and oh, she wow. can't walk because she literally can't feel her feet. So if she can't walk because she can't feel her feet, do I really think I'm going to be able to play the guitar if I can't feel my hands?
Oh yeah. No, it's so terrifying. I mean,
and here's the worst part. This same woman was asymptomatic when she had it. So she didn't even go through hell. She was like, I'm good. And then this weird thing hit her like 3 months later. I know somebody else who 3 months later, they got a heart attack.
Oh my God. That sounds.
And they've had just heart problems ever since. It was just like the people don't understand that it's not just like the flu where you get it and then you get over it and it goes away. It's like, no, you get it. And then you don't know what's going to happen from then on. You might die. You might not. Nothing might happen. You might have nothing happen. And then in 3 months you have a heart attack.
Oh my God.
Seriously, there's no way to know. And these are people I know. This isn't just stories I'm reading.
Right. It's not just like older people, like, you know, where it's like,
no.
Like, yeah, it's like healthy people that, you know, like, and I mean, yeah. I mean, my cousin said, I mean, it took him a few months to get his sense of smell fully back, which is like, I mean, I just,
there you go.
I'm just like, ah, like, what is,
like, I just don't want to get it.
What if you never get your smell all the way back? That's like, that does affect your taste. It's like, what is,
of course,
what, so it's like you can't smell, you can't really, you, like, food doesn't taste good. Like, what we need our noses, you know, to be able to yeah. smell like fires and rotten food,
everything,
shit like that, you know, like, to protect us.
Yeah, it's a whole sense. That's yeah. like losing your ears or losing yeah. your, you know, like, it's a whole sense. You don't yeah. want to lose that sense.
No,
it's important.
Yeah, I'm like, no, it's terrifying. So, but it's also like hearing music, being able to just gather. I think I read something today about, like, Barcelona had like a little test, like, of an outdoor concert, tested them a couple of weeks later and nobody had gotten it. Or, I mean,
there's a way to do it. There's a way to have safe concerts. That way is not indoor under any circumstances.
Yeah.
With the exception of, can you open the roof?
Yeah.
No. Okay. It's not safe.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Like, people are so crazy. They're like, well, you know, we fit 600 people and we're only letting 100 people in. I'm like, do those 100 people spit and breathe when they open their mouth and talk? Yeah. Okay, cool. It's not safe. It's yeah. in the air. How many times do I have to tell you this?
Right. How many times?
It's like, hey, it's a really big pool, but people are only peeing over there. It's yeah. like, no, the pee's going to fucking get over here. It's water.
You're going to get over here. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, come on.
Splash around. Just like that. Over here. Yeah. No, I completely.
Any kind of indoor, any kind of place where the air doesn't flow through and take it out and away.
Yeah.
It's not safe. And for me, it's not worth it, especially when I just make money doing a live stream.
Right. People are making really good money doing the live streams now, where it's like,
oh yeah.
Sometimes it's like, if you can make that much money, it's like, why would you even want to go do live shows? What is something, I guess, that you're really looking forward to in 2021? You know, I guess, what have you learned, you know, at the end of 2019? And then, you know, after a year of COVID and quarantine and all that, what else do you think you took away from last year?
I'm probably going to be independent forever. I don't think I'm ever going to come back.
Yeah.
My dreams are completely different. I don't have the same goals anymore.
Huh.
All of my goals are tangible. All of my goals have either numbers or dates or amounts on them. Okay. All of my goals are very straightforward. There is no, like, I do not idealize anymore. And if I see myself start to do it, I weed it out. Like, I'm in therapy. I have my therapist literally help me with that. I told her, I was like, it is a priority of mine as your client.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you hear me talking about something that sounds intangible,
yeah,
you need to point it out.
Right.
Because, like, I don't ever want to go anywhere near where I was when I hit rock bottom in 2019, like, psychologically.
Yeah.
And, so therefore, like, none of my dreams have anything to do with the music industry. I don't give a shit if I ever get nominated for a Grammy. I don't care. It's not even a word to me. I don't even think that's even going to be relevant in 10 or 15 years. TV shows aren't even going to be relevant in 10 or 15 years. Where the hell are they going to host it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cable's like almost all the way out.
Yeah, right.
Also, like, I'm pretty sure, like, what, like 6 million people watch it? Cool. I reached 7 million people with my Facebook page last month.
Yeah.
So
7 million. That's amazing.
In a month of streaming, I reached 7 million people.
Wow. That's wild.
So, yeah. I don't need to be on your TV show, Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
I don't need to be on your TV show, Grammys. Mm-hmm. I don't need any of you guys anymore. You guys are literally meaningless. And not only are they meaningless, they're probably going to be irrelevant in 10 years because the mediums that they rule are dying.
Yeah.
TV and radio are almost all the way dead. So unless they figure out how to have some kind of Grammy Awards streaming show,
yeah,
which they could.
They could.
But here's the thing. Those numbers aren't the same.
Oh, yeah.
Streaming's not the same as television.
Mm-hmm.
Like the ad space, the timing. Ad.
Yeah, I was like, they need the ad.
Like everything is totally different with streaming. So they're going to have to completely revamp how they do the show in the first place.
Right.
And I'm willing to bet that when they revamp the show, if they revamp it, by the way, there might be a day where people younger than us are like, what's a Grammy?
Yeah.
Which honestly, that's what I kind of secretly hope.
Yeah.
Because I'm tired. I'm tired of this exclusionary bullshit in any form. I'm tired of exclusionary bullshit in any form. Seriously.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, the Grammys too, it's like, it always kind of comes out after the fact where you're like, okay, but it's still like a popularity, you know, still it's like the popularity contest or a cool kids are part of the Academy or whatever.
Yeah. And it's almost always sexist. And for a long time it was racist. And so like, I don't want any of it. I don't want any of it. You know, like I want to throw the baby out with the bathwater in this case. I do.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, I'm like, yeah, I'm a bird for sure. Yeah,
I want to throw the baby out with the bathwater in this case because I think the baby's evil. I think we need to get like a whole new baby, a whole new bath, and a whole new water.
Whole new. this baby is not going to grow up to be something.
No, this baby is like a serial killer. Let's definitely throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
Like, this baby is racist and sexist and exclusionary and transphobic and homophobic. Right.
Yeah.
Homophobic, I mean, and ableist and this baby sucks. Like, let's definitely throw this baby out with this bathwater. The bathwater is dirty. There's like the corpses of a million billion dreams of people who were excluded because of whatever reason. So let's throw the whole thing out. Let's throw the bathtub out also.
Right? Yeah. Let's get a new bathroom. Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm talking about Academy Awards, Oscars, Emmys, all that shit. I'm not here for that shit anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't reflect excellence. You know how many clowns have seen win those awards?
Right. Where you're like, are you kidding? Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was like, we don't even have to name names, but sometimes you're like, how? What? They're generating lots of money, you know? And I guess that's it. This is what people, you know, but it's almost like you're like, really? Because I know some of the other stuff that was there and did nobody just vote for it? Or, you know, you always wonder.
No, it never got even into the ballot because they're not in that club.
Yeah.
You got to be in the club. You got to sit on the right casting couch. You got to spend the right amount of money. You got to go to the right Harvey Weinstein party. And then maybe you'll get nominated.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm not here for it anymore. It makes me sick to my stomach. I don't want to be anywhere near anybody associated with it even.
Is that why do you like staying then in Austin and as opposed to like LA, Nashville, New York? You know, do you feel like it's just like separate from those industries? I guess the industry there, or would you like to see more like label stuff come out of like Texas? I mean, there is for sure, just doesn't have the attention of like the Nashville, LA, New York stuff.
Well, honestly, I like how I can make my own way in Austin. So
yeah,
I like how it's in Austin. That's why I stay here. I make my own way. I make money here.
Mm-hmm.
The number one reason why I would never move is because when shows are happening, I make probably 50% of my income in this town. Like, why the hell would I ever leave?
Yeah, right.
I make half my living here. People are like, oh yeah, but move to LA. I'm like, yeah, and be penniless and beg some guy on a casting couch for an opportunity. No, I'm going to go ahead and go back to Austin and make half of my salary there and then spend the rest of the year touring and seeing a new city every day.
Yeah.
Duh.
Win-win. Yeah, right?
Duh. Like, none of what I do and none of what I've ever done has ever been aided or helped or provided by any major industry, anything.
Yeah. That's
everything I've ever had, was because of the work that I did over time.
Yeah. And then you did it yourself. Yeah. Versus getting somebody to be like, I'll make a call. Yeah. Let me make a call.
Yeah. I'll make a call.
Yeah.
Thanks for paying me like $1 million under the table to make that call.
Yeah. Right.
or doing whatever God knows what you had to do to get them to even make the call.
Right.
Like, why would I go that route when I can just build my own crowd and people can just support me and I can just play music and tour? I'm playing music for people. I'm getting new fans and I'm touring. That's exactly what's going on with the major artists, except for they have all this stuff that they have to deal with.
Yeah. You ever feel just like uninspired in the studio and where you're just like, I don't really feel like pushing anything out right now. Therapy is super good too, obviously, but it's like, you know, what have you been doing in the meantime when you're just like, I don't feel like making music today? Or do you kind of force yourself to do that in an effort to just like making sure that you stay creative? Because everybody goes through lulls, you know, at some point.
Well, what I do is I just record every single thing that comes to my mind whenever I am in a mood to create.
Yeah.
I'll literally just like press record and record the entire session uninterrupted. So some of these recordings are 6 or 7 hours long.
Okay.
And involve like me taking food breaks and stuff, like literally just press records so that I don't miss anything.
Okay.
And then if I'm going through a lull, I just go through all those tapes, and usually I find inspiration from going through all the tapes.
Or you can pull out one little part at least and be like, I can work with this or something.
Yes.
Okay, cool. What about the songwriting? Are you constantly writing lyrics, or what's your songwriting process like?
Oh, I come up with the beat first usually, and then I come up with chords and a bass line, and then I just play guitar solos over it until a melody comes out.
Okay.
And then once the melody comes out, I kind of like listen to it and then figure out kind of like, what does it sound like it's about?
Yeah.
And then if sometimes I can answer that question quickly, sometimes it takes me a few weeks or months or whatever. But once I can figure out what it sounds like it's about, the lyrics come pretty quickly.
Okay. Yeah. Are there any other, you know, songwriters, or what about just musicians, bands that you listen to regularly?
I've just been listening to like a radio station on Spotify.
Okay.
And it's like Earth Gang and No Name.
Okay.
And like Kendrick Lamar and like a little bit of Lauryn Hill thrown in there, a classic kind of like 90s R&B also.
Yeah.
Yeah, 90s R&B and also like recent hip hop and neo soul.
Okay.
Like Anderson .Paak.
Okay. Anything?
Yeah.
It's a Spotify.
Tank and the Bangas.
Okay, I love Tank. Yeah.
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 You know, like that. There's this kind of like new generation of hip hop and neo soul. I don't always know the names of the artists because the radio station just runs, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But like it's kind of like in that realm of those artists I just listed. I've always loved hip hop and R&B, but I haven't really dove into it until like the last probably 7 years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I became obsessed with it like 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And then it's pretty much all I listen to. If I'm not listening to hip hop, I'm listening to something that I'm trying to finish.
Yeah. What are you most looking forward to this year? Or what are some of the kind of the goals, the tangible goals that you mentioned, or, you know, what do they involve?
I really am working to use all of these tools. Like basically I'm on hold until we start touring again, because I want to use all these. I want to see how all these tools work in selling tickets.
Okay.
But I can't turn that engine on right now. I don't have like a steady run of shows. I'm not even sure if the shows that I do have are going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm just like in this giant question mark. And so I'm just sitting around with all of these amazing promotion tools and hardly anything to promote except for just digital releases.
Yeah. But I guess you do have like, you know, like records and, you know, all of that stuff. I guess that's what it is.
Yeah. And people buy that whenever I stream, you know, I'd give them a link to my merch store, and that's usually how I make money. But like, I want to know, what is it like to have a sold out tour? Can this additional 90,000 followers I've garnered since last March, can I reach all of them? Will they come to the show?
Yeah.
I can't answer that question right now. And honestly, it drives me crazy because I feel like I have all of this shit that I never had before and no way to use it.
Right. And I guess it is, the beauty of it is that it's a kind of a waiting game for everybody.
It is.
It's not like anybody's really getting ahead of anybody else, because like everybody is literally in the same boat, which is kind of comforting. Yes. Which, even though it kind of sucks, but
well, here's the thing, that's what like led me to realize the actual true fickleness of the quote major industry unquote.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, y'all are stop still just like me, and I'm just like some like chick from Austin, like y'all did not even have any insurance in this shit,
right? Oh yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute. Like, we were all standing on the same rug.
right?
When it was pulled up, I thought y'all were in a different room on another floor on a golden rug.
Right?
I didn't know that you were standing on the exact same rug as me.
Right? Or y'all had another rug underneath their rug or something where you had an, but they didn't. They didn't. They're just as broke.
They were just as screwed. All these venues are now like, the venues are like, we're going to start charging a larger percentage with the ticket sales once touring starts. I'm like, okay, so then I'm not going to play at you then. I'm going to go to another venue. Like,
right?
I just couldn't believe it. It was so unreal that like these big ass artists are like going through the same, and these big ass companies, like some of them are like firing hundreds of their agents.
Yeah.
Firing 70% of their team. I'm like, oh my God, those agents are going to go start their own companies. Like, the future is now.
Right? Everybody's going independent in there. Yeah, there's a way to do the independent thing now too, where it's like, yeah, you can literally self-release everything you want and then just have somebody.
Nobody
yeah.
works in an office anymore.
Yeah. No, we don't have to have stupid meetings, you know. It's fine. So,
you know, like, what's crazy is that, like, do you think any of those 100 agents that were fired from that booking agency that everybody thought they wanted to be on, do you think that any of those 100 agents are ever going to want to work for a booking agency that big ever again?
Oh yeah, absolutely, right?
They're going to be in the same exact place I was in 2019. They're going to be like, I busted my ass and they just dropped me.
Yeah, right? And they, yeah. Exactly.
Like, and not only did I bust my ass, I had like great clients. I had this person, I had that person. They were killing it. And they just dropped me like that.
Oh yeah, right? You're like, I actually was producing like for them with my-
I was doing great.
Yeah. Right. I was
lifting their whole company up.
Yeah.
And now they're like, sorry, COVID. Bye.
Sorry. No severance pay. Nothing. Yeah.
You think any of them are ever going to want to work for an agency that big again?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Probably not, you know? And then meanwhile, it's like, you know, the Bandcamp situation seems to be doing just fine.
Yeah.
In real Bandcamp.
Meanwhile, we're making like $500 a day.
Yeah.
Like no percentage split just on Bandcamp.
Yeah, right? No, it's good. I'm glad Bandcamp is like having, and I'm glad, you know.
Bandcamp is like, we got you.
Yeah. I love that.
All the independent music sites, they stepped up to the plate.
Yeah. Sorry. Right? They're donating their proceeds, you know, on the Bandcamp Fridays. I'm like, okay. Thank you. And that's like doing the right thing. You know, they're actually.
CD Baby made like albums like 50% off. If you wanted to buy an album, you could get it 50% off for a time.
Oh, wow.
I'm telling you, like all of these, I'm telling you, man, the people came through for the people.
Right.
The industry did not come through for the people. Actually, in a lot of times, quite the opposite.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So then
that is not going to be something I ever forget.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah. They're like, they've been canceled. You know, the industry.
Yeah. For me, they have.
Yeah.
I'm like, there is nothing that you can do for me that I can't do for myself.
Right.
Oh, we can get you on this TV show that 7 million people watch. Cool. I'll just do a live stream.
Yeah. Right.
And reach 7 million different people, because there's 7 billion people on the planet. So I don't give a shit about your 7 million people. I'll find my own 7 million people.
Right. Yeah. That's not the only 7 million people who are interested.
This is what I'm trying to say. Like, I'm never going back to that way of thinking or anywhere, even in its peripheral or radius.
Right. It is a totally different way of thinking, though. You know, it's like completely flipping it around and being like, okay, how am I just going to do this? Completely, you know, just really like really having to rethink like how to make it and what like making it is.
Making it is finding a fan base that can pay small increments of money per year to where those small increments of money equal a large amount of money. So you get 50,000 people to give you $2 a year.
Right.
That's the salary.
Right. Yeah, true.
And then guess what? So you're going to work your ass off. But every time you get a person, you get a person. It's not some weird industry thing where they bought the tickets to make it seem like it was sold out. It's like, no, you don't have that engine behind you. Yeah. All the people you get, you got. Like, you honestly got them. You got them by spending your own money to tour to New York City. And they were one of six people in the audience. And the next time you go back, that one of six people brings 12 people to your show because they didn't want it to be empty like last time. And then, and then those 12 people become new. I'm telling you, like when you're independent and you go and you pound the pavement, when you get people, you get people. There's no illusion. Those people actually showed up to the show and actually watched you.
Right.
They weren't paid to do that. They're not fake. They're not paid extras. Like, they haven't actually, you ever heard of them, like, literally paying actors to make it look like these shows are more than they really are? I'm serious. That's the kind of stupid, that's the kind of stupid bullshit that they do on that level. And I hate it. It's so fake.
Damn.
All because they're like, well, everyone thinks you're $1 million artist, so we have to make you look like $1 million artist. It's like, now how about we actually rewind all the way and figure out real ways to actually really make me $1 million artist?
Right.
Instead of making me just look like $1 million artist.
Right. Let's actually.
And leaving me penniless.
Yeah. You're like, I'll just find 1 million people to each give me a dollar.
And yeah. And I don't care if that takes me 20 years, because guess what? My lifespan is like 90. So I got some fucking time.
Yeah, exactly. No, that must make, it does make way more sense when you think about it. You're like, oh, plus it's direct. It's just like direct transaction.
Yep. I go to the show. I play the show. I hang out at the merch table. I talk to the fans. The fans are like, here you go. Here's some money. And I'm like, oh, great. Thanks. Here's a vinyl. And then I'm like, cool. Thanks for the money. Now I'm going to go use this money to make more vinyls. And they're like, okay, that's great. Cool. More music. And I'm like, yep.
Yeah.
And it's just beautiful. It's very simple. It's not like working my ass off for some guy in a suit to give me the keys to the kingdom.
Right.
It's me working my ass off for people to buy shit so that I can work, continue to work my ass off with the money that they bought my shit with.
Right. In terms of that, like,
really easy
stuff, have you been doing, like, do you work with studios in Austin, or are you doing a lot of the stuff from your house?
Oh, well, I definitely still go into the studio because it's just me and one other guy.
Yeah.
And if neither of us are sick, you know, we wear a mask inside and we, you know, he takes smoke breaks. So obviously outside we don't wear masks, but
yeah,
we wear masks inside. He's really strict about it. And I respect the rules, and my singing, my vocal booth is set up in a completely different room. So
yeah,
whenever I'm singing, you know, it's just, it's such a small amount of people involved in the studio that it's actually
pod.
Really
your COVID pod anyways. You're going to
be- Yeah, exactly. And if I'm not sick and if he's not sick and if we wear masks inside and keep our distance, you know, like, we're not just like right next to each other in the studio. There's a lot of space. Yeah, there's a lot of
control room behind, you know, whole.
Yeah, exactly. They're
separating you for sure. So
of all the places set up for COVID, music studios are probably the most naturally set up for COVID places.
That's true. Yeah. You know? They are separated by a huge glass wall already. So we don't.
Yeah. Even- and then also, like, if we are in the same room, we wear a mask. And
yeah.
Also, I've been sheltering in place and not been out, and I'm not sick or have any symptoms, and yeah, neither does he. And he also, like, spaces out the sessions. Like, if he has a session, then he'll let a day or two go by before he has another one so that they can clean the place. And,
yeah,
you know, like, there's a way to navigate around this virus. It's just that way is not, like, indoor concerts and shit.
Right, exactly.
You know?
We are still, I mean, but still, it's like, being able to go to the studio is just something. I mean, just even me.
It's huge.
I mean, that is really awesome to be able to still.
It's, like, it's just really nice that it happened to work out that I can do portions of my job safely.
Yeah.
There are portions of my job that I can't do safely, but there are portions of it that I can, and you know, live streaming and being in the studio and writing new music, all of that stuff is just as important as touring.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky that those things are all extremely easy to do in COVID conditions.
Is there anything else you want our listeners to know?
Oh yeah. Well, I stream to Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram and Reddit, and my screen name on all of those is Jackie Benson. So, and make sure they know it's Benson with a V.
And that's a wrap for this week's episode of season 2. Thank you so much to Jackie Benson for being my guest. And I also saw that it's Jackie's birthday today. So happy birthday, Jackie. If y'all are digging this podcast, feel free to send us a few tips on our Anchor page, which is linked in our show notes. And be sure to check out links to all of Jackie's music in our show notes as well. Next week, we've got Robert Sputt Searight of Snarky Puppy and Ghost Note. And as of late, he is the new drummer for Toto. So stay tuned and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, because you don't want to miss out when we drop that episode. Thanks again for listening, and see y'all next week.
You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform. You can subscribe to Lone Sound Magazine at lonesoundmagazine.com.